Are you familiar with the term Christianese? Have you heard that? Christianese is when you use Christian language, in a sense, language that you hear in the Bible and read in the Bible that only Christians get. You know, nobody else. It's like if you say to somebody here, "How are you today? I am sanctified." Well, we might be able to understand what that means, but if you walk into the pharmacy and they say, "How are you today?" and you say, "I'm sanctified," they're going to look at you funny and they're going to say, "Well, I think we have a cream for that, but you might need a prescription," right? Because nobody really knows what that means outside of the church, right? Christianese. But you know, there's a Christian term that I think is kind of universal in a sense. We all speak of this term all the time. It's the term faith. We talk about faith. In fact, inside of the church and outside of the church, everyone talks about faith. You need to have faith for this, and you need to have faith for that. Have you heard that used ever by someone who doesn't believe in Jesus at all? It kind of goes like this. Well, this is difficult, but we need to have faith that we're going to get through. Or we need to have faith that it'll all turn out in the end. And we begin to ask ourselves, well, what is this kind of faith? What does it mean? When it comes to the Bible, what really is faith? Because we come to this passage of the armor of God, and Paul tells us this: be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. And he talks about the devil's schemes, right? The devil is doing something. He's going to do something to you. He's going to do something to you. He's going to do something to you. Each one of us, he's going to do something. He has schemes or methods that he uses. And it talks about an evil day coming when the devil is going to attack. We talked about a couple of weeks ago what those schemes were, and it really comes down to one thing. What is it? Remember what it is? What are the devil's schemes? Oh, somebody's got to remember. Lies. I heard over here it was lies. That's what it is. You remember right back to the beginning, Genesis chapter 3. What did he do with Eve? He lied. He deceived. That's the devil's schemes. The devil is a liar. And he loves nothing more than to deceive people. For some reason, it's right in his heart, through and through, he wants to deceive us. So we come to this point, and Paul says, the devil has these schemes, the day of evil is coming, and you need to be able to stand. And the way you do it is to put on the armor of God. Now, of course, it's not a physical armor, it's a spiritual armor. It's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual armor. And he talks about a bunch of things. And he talks about putting on the belt of truth, putting on the breastplate of righteousness. And he talks about having your feet fitted with the gospel of peace, the preparation of the gospel of peace. And, you know, then he says, in addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith. And the shield of faith comes kind of right in the middle of the armor of God. And it ends up being one of those incredibly important things. In fact, I want to say it's the most important element of the armor of God, but I don't know if that's really true, because I think it's all necessary. You can't have one and not the other. But we come to this question: what really is faith? If I'm supposed to take up this shield of faith, what is it? I hope you have your Bibles with you, and if you do, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. I encourage you to follow along in your Bible, and if you don't have your Bible with you, grab the pew Bible in front of you. It's so important for us to be studying the Word of God and in it for ourselves. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 to 39. It's a passage on faith. It doesn't talk a huge amount about faith, but it leads up to this passage on faith and leading it up to it and opening our eyes to what faith is about. And it says this: "So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised." Now hold on a second. When you have done the will of God, you'll receive what he has promised. Tell me, why will you receive this thing? Why will you receive the reward? The answer's right there. What is it? It's really subtle, isn't it? What's that? I hear a voice, but it's... that's what we've done, but there's something else there. There's another reason. It's really kind of hidden in there. That's it. That's it right there. Look at this. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. You see, this is faith. Faith is based on what God says. God says, I'm going to give you this reward. What are we going to have? The reward. That's faith. Believing what God has said. Let's keep going. Take a look at this. Verse 37. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. Do you know that Jesus Christ is coming? We've had 2,000 years of waiting. And part of us, you might think to yourself, okay, we've been waiting a long time and all these people have lived and they've died waiting for this promise. Is Jesus Christ coming? Yeah, how do we know that? Because he says so. See, that's faith. Faith is believing what God says. You go on from there, but my righteous one will live by faith. And here's a strong verse. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. If you look down a few verses to Hebrews 11:6, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Did you know that it's impossible to please God without faith? That's what we just read, of course. Now, how do we know that's true? Because he said it. See, that's faith. God says, I'm coming. Jesus says, I'm coming back. So we know he's coming back because we believe Jesus Christ. That's faith. We know that it's impossible to please God without faith because he says it. You know, in fact, if you go back, and we're not going to turn there just right now, but Ephesians chapter 2, it talks about before, by grace we are saved through faith. Can you be saved without faith? Not at all. There's no chance. There's none at all. Well, let's keep reading in our Hebrews passage. He who is coming will come and will not delay, but my righteous one will live by faith. If he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. But we, the people of faith, are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed. But we are of those who believe and are saved. We are the people of faith who believe God. And then it goes on to chapter 1 of verse 11. And we see these chapter distinctions, but they're not really there. We've kind of put them in. It says this, now faith is being sure of what we hope for, or certain of what we do not see. Not just our own imagination, right? Not being sure of what we hope will happen by our own creation. See, I can say, I believe the sky tomorrow will turn plaid. And I can believe that with all my heart, and I can be sure of it, and I can be certain of it. That's not faith, though. That's delusion, right? If God says, I'm going to turn the sky plaid tomorrow, well then I can believe it by faith. But faith is believing what God tells us. And it says this is what the ancients were commended for. And if you go through the next passage, and we'll look at a little bit in just a moment, if you go through this next passage, man and woman after man and woman, over and over and over again, were commended because of faith. Not just believing whatever they wanted, but believing what God tells them. Isn't that incredible? How do we know Jesus is coming? Because he says so. Isn't that great? See, faith is very much tied to that concept of what Jesus says, this is what I'm going to do. This is what the ancients were commended for. Faith is simply this, a definition that we can write down if you want, if you're taking notes. Faith is this. Faith is believing what God says. Faith is believing what God says. Looking ahead a few verses to chapter 11, verse 17 to 19, it says this, by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. That's huge, isn't it? Remember, God shows up to Abraham? You remember the story? And he says, take the son, your only son, the son that you love, and sacrifice him to me. I don't know how many of you could do that. I think that would be a hard one for me to hear. He who received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it's through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Now, picture this. God says, here's your son Isaac, and through him I am going to make a great nation. Right? It wasn't just through Abraham, right? It was through Isaac. Through Isaac. And then he says, take that son that I've promised I'll make a nation from and sacrifice him. Do you see the problem there? How can God raise up a nation through a dead man? He can't really. So he goes on from here, and this is Abraham's faith. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. Now, of course, God was testing Abraham, and God didn't require Abraham to go through this, but Abraham looked at it like this. He said, this is my son, and God is going to raise up a great nation through him. God says, sacrifice him. Sacrifice him. So if God is going to raise up a great nation through him, and I'm to sacrifice him, that must mean that God is going to raise him from the dead. That's faith. Abraham had faith that God could overcome anything to accomplish his will. That is incredible faith. That's hard faith to have, isn't it? It's no wonder that Jesus talks about faith and says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you'll be able to say to this mountain, get up and move over there. Faith is powerful. Faith is huge. Inherent, though, within faith is a declaration that I believe God above all else. And we look back to this passage, and we won't go there today, but Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 7, it talks about this. It says that Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, and Satan shows up as the serpent. And he says this, did God really say you're not supposed to eat from every tree? And of course, that's not what God said, but she clarified, and she was a little off base. It's like, no, we're just not allowed to eat from that tree. So Satan starts his deception, and he says, well, you look at that tree, you're not going to die if you eat that tree, because God said you're going to die. If you eat from that tree, you're not going to die. Instead, your eyes will be open, and you'll be like God. Now, Eve had a choice. Believe God in what he says, that that tree is dangerous, or believe the serpent, that the tree is good for food. And you remember what she did? She looked at the tree and she saw that it was pleasing to the eye and good for food. Remember that? She did not believe God above all else. Faith is believing God. You know, if you look in Romans chapter 10, and actually let's turn there. I think that's an important one. Romans chapter 10, verses 16 to 18. A passage we go to often in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, but verses 16 to 18 carries it on a little bit farther. It says, but not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. But I ask, did they not hear? Of course they did. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, their words to the end of the world. It's easy to hear the message. It's really easy to hear the message. But it's hard to believe. You remember Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace are you saved through faith. How often does the gospel go out? You know, back to the gospel music in the park that we have, the gospel goes out every single week, doesn't it? And it goes out to all those people there, and it echoes throughout the park, doesn't it? And it echoes throughout the neighborhood around. How often do people respond? See, it's easy to hear the message of the gospel. It takes the next step to believe it and to accept it. That's faith. Hearing this message and believing it. Faith is believing God. Now, we've laid out a definition of what is faith, because we're supposed to take up this shield of faith. But what does it mean to actually have the faith as a shield? You see, I really struggled with this one, because I tend to think of faith as offensive. I don't mean offensive as in it offends us. I mean offensive, you know, in an attacking army. The attacking army goes out and accomplishes it. And this is the way I tend to think of it. Because I have faith, I do this. God says go do this, so I go and do this. You know, I think of faith in terms of doing stuff. But I really struggled with this passage because it keeps talking about take up the shield of faith so that you can stand, right? So what does it mean to have faith as defensive faith? To protect you from danger, to protect you from the schemes of the devil. If you look at Matthew chapter 14, and we're not going to turn to these passages today, but Matthew chapter 14 and 17. Matthew 14 is the passage of Peter in the boat. You remember, and Jesus is walking on the water. You ever wonder how he did that? You think to yourself, did it turn to ice under his feet? Did it just get hard? Or what happens? Well, he's the Son of God. He can do anything. The Son of God is walking across the water, and Peter says, "Command me to come to you," and Jesus says, "Come." And Peter gets out, and he walks on the water. Do you remember what he noticed, though, that distracted him? What was it? The winds. He looks around and he sees the wind, and rather than trust Jesus Christ, he starts to sink. Jesus rescues him and he says, "Oh, your faith is so small. Your faith is so weak." If you look to the Matthew 17 passage, there was a boy who needed to be healed, and it tells us later in the passage that it was healed of a demon. And Jesus heals him of this demon, and the disciples come to him afterwards and says, "Why couldn't we cast him out?" He said, "Because your faith is weak." See, this is the offensive kind of faith, the faith that you go out and you accomplish something with it. But how is that different from the shield of faith? Back to our Ephesians passage. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. We read this: "Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." We talked about the devil's schemes, of course, a couple of weeks ago and reminded ourselves of it a little while ago. The devil's schemes are lies. He comes up and he deceives us. And he does that in all sorts of different ways. In our time, you realize that he lies to us about ourselves. He lies to us about each other. He lies to us. I remember in a long time ago, in my previous church, I was really bothered about somebody and really bothered about something that they were doing and really upset. And Juanita came to me and she kind of said, "Do you think that person's doing that on purpose?" And I stopped and I realized, wait a second. No, I don't think they are. I think it's just kind of one of those things that's happening. And I stopped and I realized, you know, I'm hearing a lie. The lie is this. The lie is that this person's out to do this or out to get me or that, this or that, right? And that's a lie. The lie that Satan gives to divide me from that person. That's a lie. Don't fall prey to the devil's lies. Instead, take up the shield of faith, the defensive shield to protect us from it. Verse 16 says this: "Take up the shield, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one." I get caught up in my mind sometimes thinking about, what are all the flaming arrows? What are all the different flaming arrows? Well, is it this? Is it that? And everything. You know, that's not the point. The point of it is this: the devil throws lies at us. There are other things he does, of course, to try to deceive and try to tear us down. His main thing is lies. They come at us quickly and they come at us hard. And the thing about an arrow, and I have to admit, I have never been shot by an arrow. This is an odd question to ask. Has anyone here ever been shot by an arrow? No one? Okay, so I'm not alone in my lack of experience in that area. Now imagine for a moment, you get an arrow through the arm. It's not life-threatening. At least I assume so. I don't think there's anything in your arm that's going to cause you just to die like that. You get an arrow from the arm. Maybe many words go through your mind, but the word that comes to my mind is ow, right? You've got this arrow sitting there. It's not an enjoyable experience. And you're looking down at this arrow, and you'd really rather it not be here or you not be here, one of the two. But Satan's arrow is different. Satan's arrow is fiery, right? That arrow, it hurts and it affects your whole body because of the pain, but Satan's arrow is on fire. And when it lands, when it makes contact, it catches fire and every single part of you, armored or not, comes under fire. Every single part of you gets damaged and comes under attack. Satan's arrows are dangerous to every part of you, and because of that, we have to protect ourselves completely. As we look at this, what are the lies that come our way? What are the deceptions that come our way, that divide us, that pull us apart, that tear us apart? The reality is, of course, that faith is not just a defensive and offensive faith, it's both. You see, the offensive faith is I go out and accomplish things. The defensive faith is I simply believe. And I stand on the fact that I believe Jesus Christ and I believe his word. You can't have one without the other, because if you really do believe, it affects action, right? And if you're living it out, it's because you believe. They go hand in hand. But what he's saying here is take up that shield of faith so that when you come under attack, you say, "Lord, I believe." this is threatened, that is threatened, but Lord, I just believe. That's faith. That's defensive faith for ourselves. Going back to the book of Hebrews, and it's hard not to talk about faith without looking at Hebrews chapter 10 and 11 there. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 35 to 40 says this. Speaking of all the people who have faith, it says this. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. Doesn't sound very appealing, does it? These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. An interesting fact about faith is faith does not protect us from suffering. Faith and suffering oftentimes go hand in hand. You know, one of the lies that Satan throws at us, one of his fiery darts, one of his schemes is to convince us that God desperately desires in all matters that we be comfortable. Do you know that's not true? God hasn't set a path for us of comfort. Now, let me say one thing. God has a plan for comfort for us. God has a plan for ease and rest for us. But it's not here, is it? It's after he comes back. It's what he has for us in the future. Faith and suffering actually go hand in hand. In fact, if you look at those passages, and I encourage you just to write them down and look them up later. Matthew 5:11 and 12 tells us you're blessed when you're persecuted. 2 Timothy 3:12 tells us everyone who desires to live godly will be persecuted. Everyone. Everyone who desires to live a godly life will be persecuted. 1 Peter 4:12, it tells us a number of things. And one of them is that don't be surprised at the painful trial you're enduring, as though something strange were happening to you. God allows us to suffer as people of faith. In the end of that, it tells us that that is the plan for us, to suffer here, but we do not suffer later. See, faith and suffering go hand in hand. And I say that because when we grab the shield and we hold it up and we're fully armored and we come under heavy attack, it's not a sign. It's not a sign that we're outside the will of God. It's not a sign. We are a people who suffer. Why? Because Satan hates us. Absolutely hates us. But there's a catch, though. There's always a catch, right? There's a catch to this concept of faith and taking up the shield of faith, and it's this. The catch is that in order to truly believe, in order to grab that shield of faith, in order to hold on to it and to stand behind that shield of saying, yes, I believe you, Lord, we have to spend a great deal of time in God's Word. And one of my great passions for the body of Christ is that people study and study and study. And people read and read. And you know, you hear that from me continually, right? And that's why I push Bible studies, midweek Bible studies, why I encourage people to be in the Word of God every single day. Every one of us needs to have the Bible open on our lap continually. Every one of us. It's why I say follow along in your Bible, because it's not just enough to hear. We've got to see it for ourselves. We've got to read. That's the catch. In order to hold the shield of faith, we got to know what it is we're believing in. The third thing I want to talk about, the first one, of course, is what is faith. The second one is what is the shield of faith. And the last one, just a short one, is this. Looking at our verse, it says this, in addition to this, take up the shield of faith. You know what it's in addition to? See, the shield of faith is never meant to be carried alone. Never. The armor of God's meant to be complete. In addition to this, and it's this, stand firm then with the belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to those three things, take up the shield of faith. The interesting thing is you look at this and imagine a life where you hold to the truth and you know the truth and you hold to that. Well, that helps you resist lies, doesn't it? Imagine a life where you live righteously and you live for the Lord and you follow Him. Imagine a life where you stand on the gospel, but you have no faith. It's cold, dead Christianity. Now imagine a life where you have an incredible amount of faith, but you don't hold to the truth, you don't try to live more godly for Him, and you don't stand on the fact that I am saved. It's flighty. It's weak. And we get knocked over very easily. We are supposed to be people who hold to the truth. We are supposed to be people who live more for Him. We are supposed to be people who stand on the gospel and have a great deal of faith. It all fits together wonderfully. And of course, there's more armor after this that we will go into in a couple of weeks after the Godwins come and visit us. In addition to all of this, the Christian faith is to be lived as a complete package. You know, I invite you with all of this as we go out of here. We ask that question, what do we do with this? Where do we go with this? And it comes down to this. It comes down to that catch we mentioned a moment ago. Spend time in God's Word. You know, the men just last week received a little booklet on devotions. 25 devotions for men. I hope you've been doing that or you've been doing your own devotions every day this past week. If not, dive into it. Start today after church. Do it every day. Spend time in God's Word. A month ago, the women received one, and perhaps you're all done it now, or perhaps you do your own devotions. Spend time every single day in God's Word. That's how we be people who take up the shield of faith. Encourage one another with the Word of God and be people of faith who believe God's Word. Father, Lord, we just lay this